Good morning. I'm Heather Curtis. Virginians will start getting a taste of their old lives back next Friday when the state enters phase one of its reopening plan. They can get haircuts with appointments, dine in outdoor seating sections of restaurants, and go to indoor religious services if houses of worship stay at 50% capacity or lower. Arlington County says it will not move into phase one next week. Governor Ralph Northam's chief of staff, Clark Mercer, says other parts of Northern Virginia may not either.
If those entities as a region say, hey, you know, we would like to delay entering phase one by 2 weeks, for example, which would be May 29th, I think the governor would be open to doing that. We also, the governor spoke with Mayor Bowser and Governor Hogan, and I'm in touch with their offices as well.
He says Northern Virginia is not looking as good as other parts of the state when it comes to meeting the governor's six criteria for reopening. As the pandemic continues, our hair keeps growing, and Texans are now able to get professional haircuts.
While some business owners are waiting until later this month to get back to work, others flooded with demand as soon as the doors open for the day.
I've been trying to call and can't get through on their voicemail is all full, so showed up this morning and put my name on the list.
You wait outside, bring a mask, and she wears a mask, and so I think we're in good shape.
After months of being closed, wait times at some barber shops close to 2 hours. Customers and stylists asked to wear masks and gloves. Clayton Neville, Dallas.
Golfers in Maryland are hitting the links now that Governor Larry Hogan is allowing golfing again. Head golf pro at the Argyle Country Club in Silver Spring, Kevin Taylor, says it's great to be back, but there are changes.
We've put actually pool noodles into the cup and then the flag stick through the pool noodle so that the ball actually doesn't go the whole way in. It, only about half of the ball goes in and half is above the surface. So you can knock it back out with the putter or pick it up without having to touch the flag stick, which is important.
He says they have also spaced tee times apart by 15 minutes instead of the usual 8 or 9 to keep players from gathering on the putting green or the first tee while they wait to tee off. Roy Horn of the groundbreaking Las Vegas entertainment team Siegfried and Roy has died from coronavirus.
Roy Horn's partner Siegfried Fischbacher released a statement saying that Horn died on Friday, a week after testing positive for COVID-19. He went on to say that Roy was a fighter his whole life, including in his final days. The legendary duo mixed magic with exotic cats and routinely sold out their show at the Mirage on the Vegas Strip. The show ended after 13 years when Roy was mauled on stage by a 380-pound white tiger, leaving him paralyzed. Roy Horn was 75. I'm Carrie Shoemaker.
Europe needs to acknowledge it was not well prepared for the coronavirus pandemic, according to the German foreign minister. But now European nations are working together to stop the virus, coordinating scientific research programs and offering cross-border medical aid. Traffic and weather next on WMAL.
It's everything you need to know Sundays on WMAL. Starting at 5 a.m., it's VA Sunday Magazine. At 5:30, hear the Chris McKay Show. At 7, it's Heroes Talk Radio with Dave Ahrens. At 8, it's the Eric Stewart Show pointing you home. Hear The Wise Investor at 9. Dr. Tom Rosell Live at 11. Purity Products at 2. Mortgage Radio at 3. Real Estate Today at 7. And at 9 p.m., it's Lawyer in Your Corner with Ryan Wilson on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Please listen. This is important. Anyone can be affected by the prescription opioid crisis. If you think you've been hurt by Purdue or its prescription opioids like OxyContin, you may be entitled to compensation as part of Purdue's bankruptcy, but you have to file a claim. Claims may include overdose, death, substance use disorder, lost wages, and neonatal abstinence syndrome. A confidential claim can be filed by individuals, a legal guardian, by survivors or relatives of people who have died or are disabled. The deadline to file a claim is June 30th, 2020, or you will lose your right to file a claim. For more information, visit PurduePharmaClaims.com, or you can call toll-free 1-844-217-0912. That's 1-844-217-0912. Paid for by Prime Clerk, LLC.
WMAL traffic from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In Virginia, watch out for an accident now on northbound 395 just as you approach exit 7 at the Shirlington exit. and that is an accident that is blocking the left lane, so stay to your right and use caution traveling there. Also, keep in mind in the district, there is still an accident that has Minnesota Avenue closed in both directions between Nelson Place and M Street in Southeast, so you'll need to seek alternate route. Traveling on the Beltway in Maryland, so far everything is looking good. Traveling on 270, watch out for a work zone northbound right in the vicinity of Clarksburg Road in the left lane. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Partly cloudy skies to start the weekend, high temperatures into the lower 50s. It will be breezy at times, making it feel even colder. Tonight, mainly clear and cold. We'll lose the winds. A freeze warning issued west, frost advisory DC and points east, lows in the 30s. For Mother's Day, partly cloudy, breezy at times, but milder, highs in the mid-60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
105.9 FM, WMAL.
Mother's Day weekend on the Saturday morning update. We kick off the 7 o'clock hour each week with John Gizzi. He is the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. John, good morning.
Good morning, Rick, and happy Mother's Day weekend. Well, to all the mothers who are out there in radio land.
John, in watching the 2020 presidential campaign unfolding, it's been an interesting kind of seesaw of momentum week to week between President Trump and approval ratings and coronavirus response. Joe Biden hunkered down, not able to get out on the campaign trail, and now facing the allegations from Tara Reid, former staffer, about inappropriate sexual behavior. Where would you say that Joe Biden is at week's end? More revelations this week.
For someone who's running ahead in most of the national surveys, I have a funny feeling that Joe Biden is not celebrating or sleeping well. The allegations launched by former staffer Tara Reid about his behavior or misbehavior 27 years ago have not gone away. Many in the national media and others in the feminist movement have dismissed them, treating her in quite a different way than Dr. Blasey Ford, the accuser of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. And yet surveys show that this issue is alive and well, and that just as many Americans are inclined to disbelieve the former vice president's claim of innocence as those who do believe him. In other words, this is going to be resolved one way or another and judged finally in the national media, the Senate Ethics Committee being unable to judge a person who's no longer serving in the Senate. It should be pointed out that when people say she is not believable, Ms. Reid did tell two other people, one of whom she told in 1993 when this allegedly happened, and that was a neighbor and colleague in the Senate. Quite a different behavior from Dr. Blasey Ford, who never told anyone anything about alleged assault by the teenaged Brett Kavanaugh until he was on the federal bench and headed for the Supreme Court. My guess is this. If there are any papers about a complaint filed with the Senate, they're in the Biden papers that are now housed at the University of Delaware's Law School. The National Legal and Policy Council, under the aegis of Attorney Paul Kaminar, has filed a Freedom of Information Act, FOIA, to try to get the release of the documents. If Joe Biden knew about this at the time, which he says he didn't, we will know about it soon enough.
Let's turn to the economy. Jobs numbers out on Friday and a very bleak picture. Among the numbers, a 14.7% unemployment rate, highest since the Great Depression, 33 million unemployed. President Trump reiterates how strong the economy was before the coronavirus hit. He's got to convince the country that he'll do a better job of recovery over Joe Biden. And how strong do you feel that argument's going to be?
Well, again, no one knows when the coronavirus crisis is going to be over, but we will know that it will be over when the economy bounces back and all of these figures of gloom and doom become positive, just like a rubber band rebounding, my guess is that this may take until November or sometime in the fall. But it should be remembered, the stock market, which has never really gone down, becomes more vibrant every time some hope are raised about a vaccine. I'm not saying a vaccine is coming anytime soon, but I'm also pointing out that when and if it looks as though the crisis is behind us, that people are out and about, that businesses are asking people to come back to work, then the economy will take off like a rocket ship. And I speak from experience on this. During the stock market crash in 08 that followed the crash with Lehman Brothers, we were down for a while. We went into a recession, but then the market came back with a vengeance. So it will this time when the virus crisis is over.
So we've seen some pretty extreme positions taken in congressional debates. We've seen the widening gap between the parties. They can't even decide whether they should come back to work or not. That's the latest congressional debate.
Well, it's funny you say that, Rick. I remarked last week that the partisan bickering and the insults flying like shrapnel go on even when the House of Representatives is out of session. And what are they arguing about? How they should meet, if they should meet. Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the one thing that the House should meet on in person is the vote on the stimulus package that will just give a little more help to those people looking at a desperate situation economically. On the other hand, Republicans led by leader Kevin McCarthy are saying they want the whole nine yards. They want hearings, speeches, briefings, and votes, and Congress coming back together. Joe Wilson of South Carolina seemed to speak for his fellow Republicans when he said, with minimal staff and attending physicians, we can conduct business that we can't conduct by phone or teleconference and do so following the guidelines of the Center for Disease Control. Now, where all this is headed, I don't know, and I'm not sure what the answer is or whether Congress will convene. However, I will say that the House of Representatives should consider, and may well be considering, the idea of a virtual House session. The House of Commons in the British Parliament, a body steeped in even more tradition than the U.S. House, is meeting virtually and doing things. In addition, the former Members of Congress Association has actually staged mock sessions of Congress, mock hearings with former CIA Director Dave Petraeus, and they've gone off without a glitch, according to their past president, former Congressman Cliff Stearns of Florida. You'll hear about a virtual House as well, and a lot of it's coming soon.
Kayleigh McEnany has completed her first week on the job as the new press secretary at the White House. Wanted to get your sense of how she's doing, and also I wanted you to take us backstage, take us into the locker room, and tell us what's going on with the briefings, because there are many, many empty seats due to the COVID-19 virus and social distancing. Tell us a little bit about how that works, too.
Rick, I'm glad you asked that. I would like a dollar for every time a listener of yours emailed me, called me, or even stopped me on the street to say, hey, I haven't seen you at the briefings the way I used to. What's up? Well, I'll tell you today what's up. Newsmax shares one seat in the diminished briefing room, which is down to 14 correspondents throwing questions at the new press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, or any other people she brings along. We share this with eight other outlets for cable television. Just on Friday, for example, I was unable to attend the briefing because it was the turn of the public broadcasting system. So we are going to have fairly regular briefings, albeit not the daily briefings most Americans were used to until 2 years ago, but they will be very diminished and shorter. As to how Kayleigh McEnany is doing, I could say that in handling questions, she operates now in a less crowded room without shouting. That works to the advantage of the lady behind the podium. So far, her answers have been succinct. There has been none of the beat-the-press kind of mentality from the administration or the gotcha mentality from some of my colleagues in the Fourth Estate. Overall, most of us in the White House Correspondents Association are delighted to see briefings in some form return to that lonely and empty James Brady briefing room, and we look forward to more of them in the future, and I look forward to tossing my first question at Kayleigh McEnany, the 12th press secretary I have dealt with as a White House correspondent.
Final note, John, California 25, the seat vacated by the resignation of Katie Hill, the Democrat. Special election coming up?
Next Tuesday. And let me put it on the table right now. Polling is near impossible in special elections because no one has any idea about the turnout. And I am not going to make any predictions about it because this will be the first special election for any seat in Congress since the coronavirus rules and social distancing took effect. Now, that said, there is a rich contrast between the candidates. Liberal Democratic State Assemblywoman Christy Smith, former Obama administration official, pro-choice, someone who's voted to raise taxes in the State House, and someone who supports sanctuary cities. Her opponent is Republican Mike Garcia, ex-Navy pilot, small businessman, the son of immigrants, who says it's high time we built the wall along the Mexican border. He's anti-tax, strongly pro-life, and thinks that Donald Trump is made out to be a caricature, and the man he met at the L.A. airport is not the Donald Trump that we read about in the newspapers or see on TV. Now, it should be pointed out there's a lot of early voting in this race, and 44% of the ballots requested for absentee voting came from Republicans, 33% from Democrats, and the rest from declined to state. That's Californian for independent. Do I know who's going to win Tuesday? Hardly. But I will say that the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee took those figures of early voting as grounds to press the panic button and sent out a nationwide alert for funds for their candidate, Christy Smith. Also weighing in for Smith, Barack Obama. It'll be an interesting race to watch on Tuesday.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. John, thank you.
Well, thank you, Rick. And as Mother's Day approaches, I think of two very special women in my life, my late mother, Rosalind Gizzi, and my mother-in-law, Mrs. Kathleen House. I learned from both of them that when you're down and at the lowest point in your life, there's nothing that lifts you up and raises you higher than a mother's love.
Thank you, John. It's 7:19, Saturday morning update on WMAL. We'll talk to Cheryl Atkinson next, but first, Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia, watch for the accident northbound on 395 approaching exit 7 right before Glebe Road. It's blocking the left lane and the left center lane, so do use caution. Stay to your right there. Also, do keep in mind that there is a closure right now in Virginia on Joplin Road. That's still closed between Park Headquarters Road and Breckenridge Road due to emergency road work. And in the district, Minnesota Avenue still closed in southeast between Nelson Place and M Street due to an accident. Now from GarageToRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Partly cloudy skies to start the weekend, high temperatures into the lower 50s. It will be breezy at times, making it feel even colder. Tonight, mainly clear and cold. We'll lose the winds. A freeze warning issued west, frost advisory DC and points east, lows in the 30s. For Mother's Day, partly cloudy, breezy at times, but milder, highs in the mid-60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
We're holding steady at 36 degrees in the nation's capital, 720 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update for Mother's Day weekend. I'm Rick Fowler. We're joined by Cheryl Atkinson. She hosts Full Measure every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock on ABC 7. She's also authored the new book, Slanted, How the News Media Taught Us to Love Censorship and Hate Journalism. Cheryl, good morning and happy Mother's Day.
Well, thank you very much.
Revelations from the House Intel Committee. We see what's behind the Justice Department ceasing the prosecution of General Flynn. You've been subjected to government intrusion into your computer, beginning when you were an investigative journalist at CBS, and obviously you continue your career as an investigative journalist today.
Yes, you know, I tend to look at things in the big picture, because I listen to even some members of Congress say things like, well, we'll have to see if a particular law was violated, or we'll have to see if this or that happened. I think that we're beyond that, that in the big picture, we now know that a lot of theories that sounded crazy a couple of years ago, maybe to those of us who didn't have the evidence at the time, have proven perfectly true, that there was, I think we can say doubtlessly, a group of people at high levels in government under the Obama administration, not all of them necessarily Democrats. This is just more, I would say, persistent bureaucrats or deep staters that conspired to try to entrap or get in trouble people around Trump and to perhaps try to get at Trump himself by going after those close to him around his campaign. And it continued after he was elected in a very organized fashion that was thought out by a series of characters whose names we know quite well now. So General Flynn was involved in this. He was part of the conspiracy that they have acknowledged in writing that they had to go after him. But I just think the bigger picture is even more important.
None of this probably would have ever been discovered if President Trump hadn't been elected.
Well, yes, and even then, look at how long it's taken. I mean, we're coming close to the next election, and one could envision a scenario where this stuff would never have been uncovered if they had been able to wait it out just slightly longer and perhaps get somebody else elected, or if President Trump had not been able to keep turning over and over people that he had hired who were maybe not working in his best interest or in the nation's best interest until he finally got people in positions, it looks like now, who are declassifying material that should have been declassified years ago. Congress asked for it. It's public information we are supposed to have, but it was protecting this cast of characters. And, you know, there's been very little accountability for any of them. One example I pointed to recently was, you know, according to the Inspector General, the one appointed by President Obama, by the way, an FBI attorney doctored a document to get a wiretap against a Trump campaign associate. This is not only unethical, it's illegal if it happened, but that happened years ago. It was revealed in the Inspector General report last November, but crickets. So I think people wonder, why does it take so long when you are on a certain maybe position, when you come from one side of the aisle, as they say, but when you come from the other side of the aisle, anything you do can be processed and handled quickly, or it can be made to look like you did something you didn't, and that will be, justice will be very swift in those instances.
The Labor Department releasing very distressing jobs numbers on Friday. The unemployment rate at 14.7%, the highest since the Great Depression. 33 million Americans have filed for unemployment. One of the terms that we have heard about in the Trump administration is opportunity zones. And you have a story on Full Measure tomorrow explaining how these opportunity zones will help in the recovery from the COVID-19 crisis.
Yes, this is really an interview with Senator Tim Scott, these opportunity zones were his idea, and he had this idea for years, but it was only under President Trump that these came to fruition. And if you're as old as I am, you remember something called enterprise zones that were, I believe, envisioned under Jack Kemp some years ago that had a similar purpose. But in that case, that was the government funding projects to make sure that dilapidated neighborhoods and underserved places had opportunities come to them, had stores move there, had, you know, real estate development in a good, positive way come to their neighborhoods. Well, this is sort of the privatized version of it that Senator Scott has envisioned. These opportunity zones bring investments into poor neighborhoods or places that really, really need it and are hard hit, even before coronavirus, just had all kinds of problems. But it encourages private investment and it gives some benefits to people who are willing to make that investment in these neighborhoods. And he'll talk more about that in the program. But, you know, not everybody approves of them. I'll talk about that a little bit, too. But the way Senator Scott describes them, it looks like to me that it could possibly be something that helps a lot and in some areas as we try to pull out of this economic disaster.
You have another story on Full Measure tomorrow, and it involves testing that is being conducted on prisoners. When I saw the preview, it struck me as those kind of stories we heard about what happened 50 years ago.
Well, yes. I mean, it's similar theme, a little bit different, because, I don't know, I think there are all kinds of cases we've highlighted in recent years where federal officials, prominent academic and institutions and hospitals have conducted research on human beings and babies sometimes that have been found by government bodies to be unethical and violate guidelines, but nothing ever happens to them. They sort of say, well, we didn't really break the rules, and you know, they instead turn on their ethical officers, their ethics officers, and say that they were wrong and controversialize them. And a lot doesn't seem to change, but in the big picture, I see a movement where there are a lot of interests trying to loosen up rules on human research. Because after all, who really wants to be part of a study if, and this has been argued by the scientists involved, if you knew all the risks and they actually tell you that your baby could have X happen, they say, well, nobody would enroll. So they may withhold information. They may conduct a study that some deem to be unethical, but they say they have to for the greater good. And anyway, this is sort of a more recent debate about a case where prisoners in Louisiana were offered medical implants to help with their opioid cravings. And this would presumably, you know, solve that problem. But there's a big debate as to whether this was an unauthorized human experiment that didn't go through the proper channels for approval, didn't use the proper safety safeguards, or, as the drug company that makes the implant says, this wasn't an experiment at all. It didn't meet those requirements. It didn't need certain approvals. It was just a project. And you'll hear both sides of that debate in our cover story on Sunday.
That's tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, ABC 7. It's Full Measure. Cheryl, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
728, it's the Saturday morning update. We'll talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and KT McFarland in the next half hour.
Hi, it's Mary for EMP 180. You've heard me talk about how EMP 180's weight loss and wellness program vastly improved my health and my life. Well, since we're now all practicing social distancing, it's the ideal time to sign up for EMP Remote. According to the CDC and NIH, being overweight is a huge threat to our immune system. That's why EMP Remote can help you slim down and become healthier, as it's already done for hundreds of people. And it's so easy. EMP Remote clients enjoy total access to all the program support and resources right at home. When you sign up, they send you a scale, conduct your weekly coaching sessions via phone, and either deliver all your EMP nutritional foods or provide for easy pickup. Use this time to become healthier and change your life with EMP Remote's special offer. Call 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180. Or visit EMP180.com. EMP 180 weight loss, empowering a healthier you.
Even though COVID-19 poses an unprecedented challenge, you can count on Novec to deliver reliable power and to help in other ways. Novec.com offers tips to save energy while spending more time at home. Novec customers can monitor their energy use online, as well as pay bills through the website or by phone. And anyone can donate to help neighbors in need through Operation Roundup. Novec, power you can count on.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning. I'm Heather Curtis. Virginia is planning to move into phase one of reopening next Friday, even though hospitalizations are increasing. Governor Ralph Northam.
If we look at our hospitalizations, especially with COVID patients, and especially COVID patients who are in the ICU and need to be on a ventilator, that has remained flat.
He says a lot of the increase in hospitalizations is due to the fact that elective surgeries have resumed. Meanwhile, Arlington County says it will not move into phase one of reopening next Friday, and other parts of Northern Virginia are also considering delaying reopening. With so much closed and stay-at-home orders in place, D.C.'s tourism industry is suffering.
To date, we've lost over $1.7 billion in travel spending because of this crisis, which is a 71% decline from where we should be.
President of Destination D.C., Elliot Ferguson, says once people start traveling again, they'll be targeting people who can drive to D.C. An Alabama-based company gets a $275 million contract from the federal government to start building a border wall in South Texas in January. The 14-mile section of wall will go up in and around Laredo, Texas, on the Rio Grande. In sports, Major League Baseball's cutting the number of 2020 draft rounds from 40 to 5, according to multiple sources. The draft will start June 10th. Traffic and weather next on WMAL.
Someone once said, challenge in life is inevitable. Defeat is optional. Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton, and at the Good Feet store, we have certainly been challenged recently, as no doubt you have too. Our hearts go out to all in our community who are struggling during this time. But let's not be defeated. Let's use this crisis to create even more resolve to move forward together, safely, 2 feet at a time. Now more than ever, let's pursue a healthy and active lifestyle and spend less time merely treating symptoms. Now more than ever, let's be active participants in life rather than passive spectators. Now more than ever, let's pursue our jobs with passion and joy, and of course make sure our feet are not getting in the way. And now more than ever, the Good Feet Store wants to help you get back out there carefully, confidently, and with the best support you can find. Come see us at the Good Feet Store with our new safety protocols in Fairfax, Leesburg, and Rockville.
Hey everyone, Laura from Garden Answer. If you want your yard to really shine, just look for the shrubs in the White Proven Winners containers at your garden center. They've been thoroughly tested and handpicked in order to give you a carefree, colorful yard with a whole lot less effort on your part. I trust Proven Winners shrubs, and you can too. They've got lilacs, hydrangeas, roses, and all your favorites. And they come in a wide range of color and sizes, making them really great for all gardens. Make life colorful and easy with Proven Winners flowering shrubs.
WMAL traffic from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In Virginia and Alexandria, watch out for the accident activity on northbound 395 between Shirlington and Glebe Road. It's in the left lane and the left center lane, not causing any significant delays, but just stay to your right and use extra caution traveling there. In the district, do keep in mind that a portion of the Suitland Parkway is closed for weekend road work between South Capitol Street and Firth Sterling Avenue, but detours are in place. Also in Laurel, keep in mind that there is some road work right now on Route 1 Baltimore Avenue southbound between Main Street and Oak Street. Watch out for two lanes to be blocked through that work zone. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
A very cold start to the weekend, some record lows this morning. Highs today reaching the lower 50s under partly cloudy skies. It will be breezy at times, making it feel even colder. Mainly clear and cold tonight, lows in the 30s. Due to a freeze warning west, frost advisory DC, and points east through 10 o'clock Sunday morning. For your Mother's Day, partly cloudy skies, breezy at times, but warmer, highs in the mid-60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Hi, it's Larry for EMP 180. You've heard me talk about how EMP 180's weight loss and wellness program vastly improved my health and my life. Well, since we're all now practicing social distancing, it's the ideal time to sign up for EMP Remote. According to the CDC and NIH, being overweight is a huge threat to our immune system. That's why EMP Remote can help you slim down and become healthier, as it's already done for hundreds of people. And it's so easy. EMP Remote clients enjoy total access to all the program support and resources right at home. When you sign up, they send you a scale, conduct your weekly coaching sessions via phone, and either deliver all your EMP nutritional foods or provide for easy pickup. Use this time to become healthier and change your life with EMP Remote's special offer. Call 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180 or visit EMP180.com. EMP 180 Weight Loss, empowering a healthier you.
Homeowners, are you paying too much for your home loan? Prime Choice Funding is the answer with a 15-year fixed-rate mortgage at just 2.75% rate in APR or a 30-year fixed at just 3.125% rate in APR. And we'll even waive all lender fees. That's right, a 15-year fixed at just 2.75% rate in APR or a 30-year fixed at just 3.125% rate in APR. And we'll pay all lender fees. You may be able to save thousands of dollars per year. Don't miss out on these historically low rates. Call Prime Choice Funding now at 844-933-4343. 844-933-4343. That's 844-933-4343. Or visit PrimeChoiceFunding.com.
Equal housing lender. Not licensed in all 50 states. Call for cost information and conditions. Rates quoted as of 4/30/20 for a 15-year and 30-year fixed rate conforming loan based on a credit score of 740 with an LTV of 60% on a rate and term refinance. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Number 1173.
. 7:36, it is the Saturday morning update, Mother's Day weekend on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer joins us. He is the author of Operation Dark Heart and the president of the London Center for Policy Research. Tony, good morning.
Hey, Rick, always great to be on. Thanks for having me.
Okay, in just a second, I'm going to ask you to kind of summarize the key points of the revelations of the investigation of General Michael Flynn and also the release this week of the House Intel documents. We'll get into that in a second. But sure. A story that's been breaking overnight is at Yahoo News, Michael Isikoff. We've had him on quite a bit in the past. Anyway, he's at Yahoo News.
Yeah.
And he's obtained a recording of President Obama talking privately very recently with former members of his administration.
Yeah.
President Obama says, quote, "The rule of law is at risk in the wake of what he called an unprecedented move by the Justice Department to drop the charges against former White House National Security Advisor Michael Flynn." He says the rule of law is at risk because the Justice Department is dropping the charges. I thought the rule of law was at risk when we saw how the case was handled by the FBI investigators.
Well, this is a great beginning. I saw the article, and I know Michael. I've spoke with him several times, and let's be directly honest with the audience. Michael Isikoff was part of the Russia collusion hoax. He was one of those handful of journalists who was receiving on a regular basis inside information on the so-called, momentum of the entire investigative process, which was indicating President Trump and his campaign were part of this conspiracy. So let's take that with the first point. And within the context of what we're talking about today, Rick, it's more and more clear that President Obama was the actual architect of some of the wrongdoing that's now obvious relating to this so-called, you know, departure from accountability within the Department of Justice. He apparently was well aware of some of the things going on and was part of it. And that's one of the things hopefully we'll get to this morning as we talk about this. Because this past week, two big things happened. First, as you mentioned, Mike Flynn was the Department of Justice dropped the charges. Now, this is not done yet. Judge Sullivan, the judge in the case, has to rule on this to make sure that they accept it. My well-placed source on this says this may happen as soon as Monday. And this would then end the prosecution of Mike Flynn. Secondly, and more importantly to what we're talking about, there's been a mass dump of records, of hearings and testimony of Adam Schiff and the House Intelligence Committee. These documents relate to hearings held in 2017, 2018, which indicated what people were saying behind the scenes. And this included people like Susan Rice, Ben Rhodes, Jim Clapper, and a woman named Evelyn Farkas, who on her own Twitter page to this day claims to be the source that warned Obama and company about the Trump-Russia collusion. And what's significant here, very significant, your audience needs to understand this, Rick, is that according to the closed testimony, everything that they said was there was no collusion, we have no idea anything about it, there's no direct information. Yet during the same time, they were out publicly saying that there was evidence from their official positions or as former officials who intoned or implied that they had direct knowledge of this and now were turned to the media. Now, you know, Jim Clapper was in the media, John Brennan, all of this. So now, at this point, looking at the whole totality of this, a guy named Barack Obama's name comes up regarding a 5 January 2017 meeting where he knew more than Sally Yates, the acting attorney general, about Mike Flynn, about Mike Flynn being tapped. Now, why would a sitting president, although he was on his way out the door, know significant details about the inbound administration's national security advisor regarding what now we know to be a completely legal phone call? Why else would you know about that unless there's some reason, some thing that you're doing with that information? And we believe, those of us who've been tracking this, this is essentially the beginning of what I've been calling the Soviet-level wrongdoing, where an entire system, a mesh of government, former government, media, and individuals who had, you know, measured and continued access to members of Congress, worked together to thread and put together this web that we now know was the Russia collusion narrative hoax. And Isikoff, for better or for worse, has been one of the main Russia collusion narrative hoax grifters. And it's good to see he's at least insisted grifting right to the very end of the Russian conspiracy issue.
What do you see as the necessary next steps? We know the Durham investigation is underway, but even as recently as this week, Andrew McCabe, he was cleared once again of any issues that he was facing. So it seems that people that have been behind some of the malfeasance in the investigation, they just seem to be getting a pass.
Yeah, so this is where I think the Barr effort to review all this has to take on a different light. I keep hearing from certain folks, oh, they're never going to be held accountable because X, Y, Z, and this, that, and the other. Look, Mike Flynn was accused of making false statements. So I'm pretty sure that there's going to be somewhere within the context of all the statements these people have made over the past 3 years, false statements were made. And there may be things linked more directly to the judiciary, false statements to the judiciary regarding FISA and some other things. So I'm not one of those that says everything is done yet. I think the first thing that had to be done is kind of a righting of the ship of state regarding what has been done wrong to individuals. And Mike Flynn's not the only one. There's a number of individuals out there who have had their lives destroyed by the former administration. So I think we have to look at that. Secondly, we have to look at the procedures and examine how foreign counterintelligence was used and abused for purposes of inflicting political damage on an inbound administration. Now, think about this. Very powerful elements of the U.S. government, foreign counterintelligence focused on protecting citizens from foreign intelligence was used for purposes of attacking citizens. So we have to pay especially good attention to this. And one of the other notes I really do want to get to before we get off and we can throw this in is that there was definite collusion on issues relating to the DNC. The DNC not only paid for information that ended up being Russian disinformation, Adam Schiff actually read into the record information that was paid for by the Russian, by the DNC that Russian intelligence officers formulated for purposes of passage. That's how completely unhinged this became on the other side. And oh, by the way, one of the notable things that came up this week is that CrowdStrike, the company that actually was involved in trying to evaluate if the DNC server was hacked by the Russians, now admit, we don't know. And the reason they don't know, Rick, is because no one today has ever actually examined the DNC server. It remains completely unexamined. So when you put this all together, I know this is a lot for the audience to try to comprehend this morning, completely undermines any account, any truth in the entire Russian collusion narrative by the Democrats, by Hillary Clinton, by Barack Obama, and by the Comey's FBI.
Amazing. Quick question. Does anybody know where that server is?
I know some folks who think they know where it's at, but it's going to be tough to get to the bottom of that. But to that point, Rick, I think all these things regarding that issue and others have to be reopened now, circling back to your last question about regarding people being held accountable. There are some things out there that people haven't been investigated for yet, and they definitely need to be.
What a story. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, thanks for your insight this morning. Much appreciated, and have a nice Mother's Day weekend with the family.
Great. Thanks. You too, Rick. Take care.
All righty. 7:45, you're listening to the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. As you know, KT McFarland was the Deputy National Security Advisor working with Michael Flynn, the National Security Advisor. We will get her inside look at how all this has played out. That's next. But first, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia, the accident on 395 northbound between Shirlington and Glebe Road has been cleared. Travel lanes there now open. Now, there is a work zone in Virginia in Arlington on eastbound 66 between Sycamore Street and Fairfax Drive. Watch out for alternating lane closures there. And in the earlier accident in the district on Minnesota Avenue at Nelson Place in Southeast has been cleared and the lanes have been reopened. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Storm Watch 7 forecast.
Partly cloudy skies to start the weekend, high temperatures into the lower 50s. It will be breezy at times, making it feel even colder. Tonight, mainly clear and cold. We'll lose the winds. A freeze warning issued west, frost advisory DC and points east, lows in the 30s. For Mother's Day, partly cloudy, breezy at times, but milder, highs in the mid-60s. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
It's 7:46 on the Saturday Morning Update, and it has been a very cool morning, but we've notched up to 37 degrees.
Hello, this is Jim Plamondon, owner of Roy Rogers Restaurants. As you know, Roy Rogers has always been about family. For over 50 years, we've been part of the communities we serve. During these trying times, we will continue to serve families and communities. Our Roy Rogers Restaurants are open for drive-through and carry-out. Online ordering, both through our app and website, along with pickup and delivery with DoorDash at participating restaurants. We will still bring you the comfort food and the quality, variety, and choice of roast beef, burgers, and chicken that appeals to every member of your family. We'd like to thank all the people who work to keep our restaurants open for their dedication, and to assure you that we practice the highest levels of sanitation in preparing your food. Your safety is of the utmost importance to us at Roy Rogers Restaurants. Thank you and be safe.
Larry O'Connor here for my good friends at Renters Warehouse. Renters Warehouse is DC's most respected property manager because they know this market. And with the current pandemic situation, now is a great opportunity for property owners. People choose renting in times of uncertainty. And right now, inventory is down and demand is high. Whether you own one property or a dozen, Renters Warehouse has the tools to find high quality tenants while following all safety guidelines, including virtual tours and self-showing capabilities. And with their security deposit free option, you can attract more tenants while protecting your home and cash flow. Renters Warehouse finds awesome tenants in just 17 days on average, and they take rent collection, maintenance, inspections, and paperwork safely off your plate. There's no upfront fees, and they'll even warranty your renters. Go to rwdcnova.com to book your free virtual or in-person home rental price appointment today, or call 571-489-8134. That's 571-489-8134. Renters Warehouse DC. You'll always have a home with us.
It's the Saturday Morning Update for Mother's Day weekend. It's great to have you with us, and it is great to have KT McFarland with us, and a happy Mother's Day, KT.
It's a happy Grandmother's Day to me, too, because I just had a new grandson.
That's great. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
KT, of course, the former Deputy National Security Advisor in the Trump administration. She's authored the book Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. We've talked over the past few months, KT, about what happened to you, the FBI investigation, the way questions were asked of you, and basically the way you've been treated. And when you saw the Justice Department ceasing to pursue the prosecution of General Flynn this week after the release of documents from really two areas, the House Intel Committee, and then there were court documents that were released. What was your immediate reaction? Because you were so close to all of this.
Well, you know, Rick, it's sort of so near and so far. On one hand, I had the experience, my own experiences with the FBI and the Mueller investigation, which I write about in my book. But I thought I suffered in silence and alone. I didn't realize that others, including General Flynn, were getting the same treatment. In fact, I wasn't able to talk to General Flynn after he left the White House on the advice of his lawyers and mine. So now that his story has come out, I realize that we were both subject to the same kind of entrapment and perjury traps and intimidation. The difference was that he was actually blackmailed in saying that they were going to charge his son with the crime. And so Flynn pled guilty to crime he didn't commit, to get it so that his son wouldn't be charged. I mean, I wasn't in that position, and I refused to plead guilty for crimes I didn't commit, and I refused to say others committed crimes, which I didn't think they committed. So now that I realize they were doing that to all of us, it really shook my confidence. And the FBI, I used to think these were the good guys. They were the guys who protected us, you know, from terrorists and mass murderers and all the rest. And I've now come to think of them as, you know, I'm never going to meet an FBI agent again without having a lawyer present, just because of, I think, the abuse of power that was not just a few bad apples at the FBI, but went to the very top of the FBI, and who knows, probably even higher into the Obama administration.
We had the extensive investigation, the Mueller investigation. In the House Intel documents that came out, there are many, many quotes we could do, but one quote struck me from James Clapper, the former director of National Intelligence. I never saw any direct empirical evidence that the Trump campaign or someone in it was plotting or conspiring with the Russians to meddle with the election. That's from James Clapper. There are similar quotes from other leadership. And my question to you is, now that you've had a chance to assimilate all this, what are your thoughts about the former leadership in the intel community and the FBI? I mean, these are people that you know exactly what they do because you worked so closely with people in those positions around the White House.
Yeah, I mean, look, we now realize that the whole Russia investigation, the Mueller investigation, the constant leaks to the press, the intimidation, and the people one after another who would come out and say, we know for sure there's collusion between Trump and the Russians, or between the Trump campaign workers and Russians. It was all fake news. It was all made up. It's hard to think that the entire thing, we've spent 3 years thrashing away at each other. Why? Because a cabal of people, of government employees, permanent government employees who report to nobody, they're answerable to nobody, they can't be fired, they're there, come president comes in, the president comes out, these guys remain forever. And they decided they didn't like a president that the American people voted for, and they were going to take him out. And so the Steele dossier, which was the foundation for all of this, it was a fraud. They knew it was a fraud. And yet they continued on anyway. I think it's going to end up being the greatest political scandal in American history. This was a group of people who tried to take down a president, and they almost succeeded. And if it weren't for the Attorney General and a couple of good guys in the Justice Department and some dogged attorneys, I think that they could have gotten away with it. They certainly thought they were getting away with it, when even someone like Comey, the former FBI director, bragged that he knew that he was doing the wrong thing by sending FBI agents to interview General Flynn 4 days into the administration, and that they were going over to the White House to interview him
in a perjury trap or trying to get him fired. Comey knew it was the wrong thing to do, and he laughed. And he said, well, I did it because I figured I could get away with it. This is not a democratic government and ruled by the people. This is a rule by a permanent bureaucracy who thinks that they're really in charge and forget about the choices of the American people. It's them. And I think this is the great scandal of all, that this is a group of people who think that they're better than the American voters and have put themselves above the American people and have decided they're the ones who choose the president. And if they don't like the choice of the people, too bad. They're going to just do what they want anyway.
Now, you've written a lot about this in your book, and I want people to realize that you were the most powerful woman in the West Wing as the Deputy National Security Advisor. You know how things are supposed to operate. You know who's involved at what levels. You know how investigations are supposed to be handled, and for that matter, not handled. How high up could this go?
My guess is it goes all the way to the Oval Office. Rick, this is not some mid-level bureaucrat who's decided he's going to take down Trump. This involved multiple agencies. It involved a concerted effort to leak to the press so that the press could keep it going. One of the things I write about in my book that I was so astounded by at the time was during a transition in the early days of the Trump administration, General Flynn was clearly targeted by the intelligence community working through the media. There would be a story on day one, and it would say all sorts of bad stuff about Flynn. And then the echo chamber of the media would take over. And then just as the story was dying down, another story appeared, another angle of Flynn is so horrible, Flynn this, Flynn that. What they needed to do is they had to take Flynn out at the beginning for several reasons. One, it was well known that Flynn, and he discussed it with me, he discussed it with President Trump, Flynn planned a reorganization of the intelligence community, the 16 sprawling agencies, the same way he had done a reorganization of the Defense Intelligence Agency when he was head of that during the Obama administration. But the second thing is, they knew if Flynn came in as an intelligence expert, he would ferret around and find out what they were doing during the Obama year, during the campaign, how they were protecting Hillary, how they were going after President Trump and everybody around him. So Flynn knew where all the bodies were buried. They had to take him out at the very beginning, which is why the director of counterintelligence at the FBI writes a note to his colleagues to say, what's our goal here? To get Flynn fired. That was their goal. They also hoped that they could use that, leverage that, to get to Donald Trump and to have him be so entangled with investigations and potentially even impeachment that he could never really govern.
So you were in meetings at the White House at the highest levels. I want to turn the tables. Suppose you had been in a White House meeting and you heard plans from those around you similar to these actions that were being taken against General Flynn. What would your reaction have been?
Alarm bells would have gone off in my head, Rick. You know, you don't go around wiretapping American citizens. You certainly don't do it if it's the president's top advisor. I mean, the thing that struck me when we found out that they had wiretapped General Flynn, they were listening in on his phone calls, is that I thought, my gosh, who else are they listening in on? The president? Were they listening in on everybody's phone calls? And then when the transcript of the phone call with General Flynn and the Russian ambassador made its way into the public eye, it was the transcript was leaked to the Washington Post. To this day, nobody, including General Flynn, knows what's in that transcript. The only people who know are the people in the intelligence community and a couple of reporters at the Washington Post. There's something very wrong when the intelligence community hooks up with the anti-Trump media and decides they're going to take down a president. And I think that's exactly what happened. And I certainly hope that in the weeks and months ahead, we get to the bottom of what happened, because it should never, ever happen in a democracy, and it can never happen in this country again.
KT McFarland, a lot more about it in her book, Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. And you can get it on Amazon, and you can get the Kindle version if you like, and even start reading it over the weekend. KT, thank you so much, and so wonderful to get your perspectives from an insider who has been so close to this. KT, thank you so much, and have a wonderful Mother's Day and Grandmother's Day weekend.
Thank you very much, Rick.
That's it for the Saturday Morning Update. Thank you very much for joining us, and we want to wish you a very happy Mother's Day weekend. And we've got Garden Sense following the 8 o'clock news with Heather Curtis.
Hey everyone, it's Laura from Garden Answer. Your backyard is your sanctuary, and spending time outdoors is more important than ever. So make it count by planting proven winners flowering shrubs. Hydrangeas, roses, lilacs, and evergreens to help you plant a beautiful outdoor oasis you'll enjoy for years to come. Your local garden center is ready to help with a great selection and curbside pickup or delivery. Just ask for the plants in the white containers. Make your garden the best it can be with Proven Winners flowering shrubs.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington.